Hello and welcome to another episode of Eat Sleep List, your one-stop shop for everything list making here on the network. BSEBP-radio.com. I am Brian Finch. With me as always, well, I say this and then I quickly realize, like, as always was Dan. He's the one missing today. And that's okay because
Yeah.
he's got a very fun thing going on in his life, and we obviously wholeheartedly support this, and I'm happy for him. It's a good day of celebration for Dan. But for us, it's me, and then it's Matt. Hey, bud.
Hello there. How are
Hello.
you?
I'm good. I'm good. A very warm day here in Western New York. Kind of,
Beautiful.
yeah, it gives us some juice to wanna, I don't know, do something outside. But then we come and we go, hey, let's sit inside some recording studios for a podcast.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things. We have spent a lot of nice days indoors recording, haven't we?
Yeah, some hot
Yeah.
days too.
Yes, we most certainly have.
It's
But you got a
spring though,
fun one
right?
today. It is spring. You got a nice fun one today, in the spirit of something going on. So, why don't you describe what's going through your mind right now with today's list?
Yeah, so it's March, and that means March Madness. And I th think everyone's favorite things that like are conjured up when you think of March Madness, obviously, is the Cinderella stories and the epic upsets and the chaos that can happen. But I think along with that is some amazing, memorable moments. And I had some memories coming up in my Facebook feeds recently of, I'm a Michigan fan, as you probably know, and we've had some great moments as a Michigan basketball team in the tournament with just game-winning plays, just epic, last minute, better count them out, but you shouldn't count them out because anything can happen. And so that inspired this list, and we expanded it beyond just March Madness. And so today we're going to be listing our top 10 favorite memorable finishes, I guess you could say.
Yeah, finishes, game winners.
Game winners.
There's a lot. I try to hit every single sport. I mean, when making this list, I predominantly football because that's my main sport of following. But yeah, I don't think there's like if you're a paying fan at event or you're sitting home watching TV, I don't think you want like really want to blow out, right? Like I don't think you want to watch a one-sided game. I think the emotion and the satisfaction comes from a close game with a fun finish. And like this is why you're talking about, maybe doing a pro wrestling list in a couple weeks ahead of WrestleMania. But this is why wrestling is so exciting because a lot of times you get these very fun, exciting finishes. Sometimes out of nowhere. And it's everything, right? That you watch 59 minutes of football and hope that the last minute is the most, it some a lot of times it comes down to that final minute, right? Basketball, hockey, baseball, soccer, all these sports, there's so much, and a game can change in the final minutes or seconds of it. And I think that's one of the best things about consuming sports. So.
Oh, absolutely. And I think as we go through our list here together, we will definitely tackle all the major sports. We know Dan's got a certain flavor that he's going to bring in.
Yes.
So what do you say? Do we want to just dive right into this list?
Let's dive right in. I do want to preface this that we did do a similar subject before. Myself and Dan, it was the OMG sports moments. So that doesn't necessarily mean it falls in line with game winners, game winning sports moments. So it's a little different. And plus, Brian wasn't there for that moment. That's the most important aspect of it. So yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. And yes, I am ready to make a list.
Absolutely. All right. Want to kick it off with Dan's? We'll start each round with Dan's.
Absolutely. Yeah, go
Okay.
for it.
Dan's number 10 is Francisco Alvarez pimp job. A walk-off home run versus the Orioles back in 2024. I'm not
Okay.
sure. I'm not sure I know this at all. I'm not a baseball guy, but
That's pretty fresh. Let's see. What was the name?
Francisco Alvarez. When I said the name of Francisco, I immediately thought of Buddy the Elf.
Let's see. Francisco Alvarez, walk off. This is from 6 months. It was against the Orioles?
Yes.
All right. I think this is it.
Alvarez swings and he drives one deep left center field. Mullins looks up and it's out of here. Alvarez swings 3-0 and he wins the game for New York with a walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth.
That come through okay?
It did, and I should have known that was going to be a Mets highlight. I don't know baseball at all, at all. Maybe if you're talking early 90s, but Dan, our beloved Mets fan, who signs up every year to have his heart broken, and last year they went on this epic run and came up a little short. I'm glad he's represented his boys though on this list.
Yeah, for sure. And that's a cool moment too. I like as soon as that the ball, like he hit the ball, he just knew. He didn't even run. He didn't even start running in case it came up short. He just knew. That's always fun. Yeah, you know what? I do enjoy baseball. I you know, obviously tournament season, playoff season makes everything more exciting for everything. I definitely love being in the ballpark, and that looks like a really fun moment to have been a part of.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Very good. Let's kick it over to Matt now for his number 10.
Okay. So I actually this isn't a televised thing. It's actually from when I was coaching wrestling in high school. So there's no clip for this. I tried to find a clip. There's a post-match interview. But so coaching high school wrestling, I had previously coached at Niagara Falls. I was at Loopport at the time. And one of my former wrestlers, his name is Willie McDougal. Fantastic kid. He ended up being a two-time New York State wrestling champion. He currently is wrestling for Oklahoma,
cool,
which is awesome. I think it might be his senior year. He's really, really good. But anyways, so this was and the WrestleBacks in 2017. So the WrestleBacks are basically the consolation round. If you lose one match, you go to the consolation side of the bracket and have a chance that you can place no higher than third place, which is pretty cool. He's in the blood round, which is if you win this round, you can place as low as sixth. If you lose, you're done. You don't get a medal. You don't get anything. And I believe he was in eighth grade at this point. Mm-hmm. So he didn't place the year prior, but this year he's wrestling in the blood round and he's down. I actually screenshotted the score. He was down 2-3. All right, with 2 seconds left in the blood round. And I remember the whole crowd yelling two, which is a really cool thing. So a takedown is 2 points in high school wrestling, or it was at the very least. And so when a close takedown like that happens, the whole everybody watching yells two, and it's really cool to be a part of. But legit, 2 to 3 seconds left, he's about to get eliminated, and he shoots a last second desperation double leg takedown, which comparatively for pro wrestling, it's almost like a spine buster, but not as vicious. But it's like a tackle. It's a tackle. You scoop the legs up and you run them around. And he gets it in the final seconds. It's really close. I remember the refs almost didn't call it for him. I really wish I had the clip, man. It was amazing. But the refs almost did not call it for him, but they eventually did, looking at just considering everything. And he got the two, and he ended up he placed sixth that year, which is first time placing at states, which is really cool. But it was amazing. Willie had a lot of great moments wrestling in high school, and he's made a lot of great ones wrestling in college. But it was I was really glad that I was in the arena that day to witness that. It was one of the craziest endings of a high school wrestling match I've ever seen. So shout out to my boy Willie McDougald, winning in the blood round, 2016-17 New York State Championships in Albany, New York. So that is my number
Very
10.
Cool. He was in eighth grade?
I think he was in eighth. He was either eighth or ninth grade at that point.
Was he wrestling for varsity eighth?
Yes.
Eighth grade.
Oh, he was that good.
Oh, my goodness.
Even seven. I'm pretty sure the year I was there, he was in. Oh, Christ. He might have been a freshman there, but the year I was there previously, he was an eighth grader, but he was wrestling varsity. But wow. Yeah, the kid was a prodigy.
I love it. All right, my number 10. And the way I kind of set up my list here is I tried to keep the importance of the moment and the stakes that were at hand when these things take place. So this is actually, I believe, minus maybe one, because I can't remember off the top of my head the other one, but this is my only non-playoff moment, but it is a Bills moment for me here of EJ Manuel to Stevie Johnson, game winner, last few moments of the game to Stevie Johnson over the Panthers. So this would have been EJ Manuel's rookie year, which would have been, 2013?
Hold on. This might be a fan. I think this is a fan clip.
Okay.
Wait. Hold on. I found it right here.
Let's see what Nate Hackett comes up with here at the end of this game. It'll be second and one. Forget the one. They've got to get it into the end zone. Carolina trying to stop him and win the game. Here's Manuel with a fade and wide open. Touchdown.
Wow. Holy, he was so open. How was he that open?
Complete busted coverage. Complete busted coverage. This should not have happened. It makes this list. It's EJ's first game. He doesn't end up being anything. If you watch the YouTube clip, he's very emotional. He's down on a knee. He's crying in his hands. You know, it's an amazing start for a rookie, obviously. And it makes this list because me and my brother were there, and I was coming back from a vacation, seeing my family down in Kentucky, and me and my brother drove up together, and I had received, that was like on a Saturday, or maybe a Friday. And my friend texted me and said, "Hey, I have some extra tickets to the Bills game. Would you want to go?" I said, "Yeah, how many you got?" He goes, "I got two." I'm like, "All right." So I tell my brother while we're like on the road back from Kentucky, probably somewhere in Ohio, because Ohio takes forever to get through. I was like, "You want to go to the Bills game tomorrow or whatever?" He was like, "Absolutely." So it's kind of like on the whim kind of deal. And fans went nuts. I remember like an idiot. We're hugging a bunch of other random Bills fans going, "We're back, baby. We're back. We found our guy. He's so clutch." He was clutch, but it was all the in-between stuff that wasn't so great. It's like the beginning and the middle was kind of bad, but he did have a lot of good fourth quarter moments.
EJ was, I liked EJ coming out because he stated, I'm pretty sure he stated or was quoted that he wanted to be in Buffalo. Like, I think he was excited to be here. But it was hilarious because I went to the Thursday night football game against the Jets, and they brought – it was when 2016, but Tyrod was the starter. They brought EJ Manuel out to, like, do, like, a fake
– hard count.
A fake hard count.
Yes.
And everyone was like, "No, no." And then he just did the hard count and walked off, and he got the loudest ovation. It was the funniest thing. And he acknowledged it. He was waving at the crowd too.
Yeah.
Like he knew what was up.
I remember that game, dude. Yeah. He got the defensive line to jump. It was hilarious. Oh man. So I promise you listeners, it will get much more exciting as we go along here, but that was one I saw in person. It was, you know, either he hits that pass or we're, you know, the game's over and
yeah.
His year starts off so much more different. So there we go. Number 10 for me. On to number 9. Dan's entry will be This is a big one, much bigger than a first week game winner for the Bills. How about the Malcolm Butler interception, Seattle versus Patriots 2000 and
14, 15.
Okay.
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal. Malcolm Butler, who almost made the phenomenal play.
What a call by Matt Michaels.
Oh, yeah. Like you can hear like this image. Like I got it paused right now, and you can just hear it. Like Al Michaels has gotten a little lazy lately, but they did stick him on those crappy Thursday night football games. But yes, this was a great call. I remember being blown away by the moment, you know, watching it, and I think the gut wrenching feeling. Like I don't think anybody wanted either of these teams to win. Like, I'm being perfectly honest with you. I think this was like two, like, Seattle was so arrogant. Like, the Legion of Boom, you just hated them. And then, obviously, the Patriots, they're back, right? They're back. They've always kind of been hated. But they hadn't been to a Super Bowl in a couple years, and they hadn't won one in 7 years at that point. Six or seven. No, it had been long. It had been 10 years since they won a Super Bowl because the last one was the 04-05 one. Against Philly. So it was crazy. It was, you know, to kind of see that and, yeah, surreal moment. Surreal moment.
I still say everyone's like, run the ball. I'm like, okay, that's fine. But if Russell Wilson throws that ball low and away instead of up high near the receiver's shoulders,
yeah,
this never happens. So,
no.
Yeah, that's a fun wolf. Entry there. Big, big moment, too. You know what I mean? Like, literally, the game is decided right there. Because I forgot how many seconds were left, but it was, like, a matter of seconds.
Yeah, and then Malcolm Butler was trash within no time at all. I think they cut it. He was cut within a couple years. It wasn't trash, but he showed up, like, late to practice. I think it was ahead of the Eagles Super Bowl, and they cut him.
Bet. Yeah.
Yeah. So...
amazing.
Yeah, seriously, how quick things can change.
Yep. Well, you're number nine, sir.
All right, my number nine, I'm going to go, it's a little bit before my time, but I will preface this saying that Michael Jordan is in my eyes, in my opinion, the basketball GOAT, okay? I loved basketball because of Michael Jordan. A lot of people that have, you know, that were born pre-LeBron, maybe even a little bit afterwards – you know what I will say? I will say pre-LeBron. View Michael as that guy, like the guy that made them love basketball. All right, how could you not love this guy? I understand LeBron's impact on the game. There's no doubt about that. I'm not saying this to kind of I'm not saying it to kind of crap on him, but there was a time where I was just obsessed. You know, I had just watching the Bulls and Michael Jordan and whatnot. I remember having a hat, a Bulls hat. But this was the guy you watched because of Michael Jordan. So I'm going to go back to 1989, again, a couple years before I was born, but a tremendous series here. It's his game winner against Cleveland, and I believe it was the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
And he puts them out of their misery. So let's go take a look at that.
Jordan. Oh. He looks. He gives to Jordan. Jordan to the circle. Puts the shot in the air. Good! The game's over, and the Bulls have won. Jordan beat him at the buzzer with a jump shot in the circle, and Chicago has knocked off the Cavs 101-100.
And, like, that's one of the most iconic videos of Jordan's career, too. Like, you see it in every single documentary or anything. Mm-hmm. They show that shot from that angle. And yeah, that was just like it doesn't get much bigger than that. You know, that's like Jordan is probably the best athlete of all time. Like I he's like in a tier of goats. He'd be like the top of it, I think, 'cause just in the mental and physical those aspects of being an athlete, he was always there. Like, he always made those plays when necessary. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Jordan buzzer beater against the Cavs in 1989.
He had 44 in that game. Which is just a normal day for him. He's like,
yeah, that's nothing.
He wakes up and accidentally scores 20 points while tying his shoelaces. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I try to think of a comparable athlete to him as far as just like that. I mean, obviously, like, I think Brady's kind of in the conversation, but great. I think the way that football is formulated, I don't know. Like, Jordan can go in and take over a game. Brady's got to lead a team, which is obviously, you know, everybody's got to do their part and whatnot. But it's really hard for me to think of somebody at the level that Jordan was, as dependable as he was, you know, to go get the job done.
I don't have any golf entries, just because golf takes more than just – it's not a moment, right? Because, like, even on a single hole, like, Tiger had some epic comebacks. So, but if, you know, even if you get to, like, the 18th hole, that's where he wins it. Well, if he would have stunk on the 17th or the 16th, you know what I mean? There's no, like, singular moment, which makes it tough for that to make the list. But as far as go conversations and clutch conversations, I would always put Tiger up there.
That's fair.
It was insane. It was, and I was, like, just getting into golf when he was just about exiting his prime. So, just
I mean, a lot of popular golfers too over the years, but Tiger, I think there's a definite case. I think more people cared about golf than ever before when Tiger was around.
1,000%.
Like, he was he was the Jordan of golf. I will 100% agree with you on that. I think he's that good. So
it's probably like Jordan, Brady, Tiger, and like Phelps, I would say, if you put on the Mount Rushmore of guys that's just like dominated their sport.
Yeah, Phelps is, I mean, he gets plenty of love, but as far as an all-time sports goat, I think he deserves more.
Which we did do, we did a draft of that, didn't we?
We did.
Oh, the goat draft.
We did.
Here's my number 9 entry. All you have to type in to get this clip is kick 6, and it is Auburn's, I don't even know how to describe it, winning a game over Alabama by returning a missed field goal in 2013.
Let's see. I'm trying to find the bet. There's a radio call.
Use the Auburn radio call. That'll be
the top one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I guess if this thing comes up short, he can field it and run it out. All right, here we go. 56-yarder. Does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game. He ran the missed field goal back. He ran it back 109 yards. They're not going to keep him off the field tonight. Holy cow.
You know, as a former college athlete, how cool would that be to go to school the next day or that Monday after doing that? You know what I mean? Like, how awesome. Like, I wrestled in college and nobody gave a shit. Like, nobody came to the college wrestling matches. This, a crowd full of your people. It's obviously a nationally televised game.
Oh yeah,
you're at your own school, and you got to go to math class at Monday at 8 a.m.
Yep.
Like what? Like, I would love to have been that guy. Oh man, he probably got so much puss for like a while after that.
So this is the Cam Newton led Auburn team, I would think, because he came out the same year as EJ, right? Or is
no?
That-
Cam was 11. 12.
Oh, 11. He was.
Yes, Cam was okay. The same class as Andy Dalton, so he would have graduated 10-11.
Okay.
This is
even more impressive.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so they call this the Iron Bowl. Auburn and Alabama. I don't know how many miles away they are, but they're both, you know, in Alabama. And I think this kept Bama, I think this kept them out of being able to play for a championship that year. I don't think Auburn ended up playing for anything major other than like an average bowl game. But I think this ruined Alabama's season. I was watching this live too.
Oh, you were?
I was. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was amazing. So epic. So that is my number nine, the kick six. And I love anytime that you can, if you can just say a couple words and you know the play.
Yes.
Like Bills and Sabres fans have like wide right and no goal, which are negative things. It's much better to have a positive thing like kick six.
That is true.
Under number eight here for Dan's entry, we have the from this season, Jaden Daniels Hail Mary. So going more.
Oh, that's the. It was against the Bears, call. Right?
Do the radio call.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I always love the hometown calls when like moments like this.
There's a Bears radio call. Let's see.
Oh God, that's going to be so near the line.
One just scouting to see if they do anything underneath. Here's a throw caught by McLaurin out of bounds. So up near the 50-yard line. He's going to give him a Hail Mary shot. 2 seconds to go. So they took the 3 yardage to the 48. And Jaden's got to chuck one up into the end zone. He's either got to get
this
a
where
miracle
that dude was
or a penalty.
Fucking around
yeah,
in the end
like
zone,
that.
Right?
Hey, get
yeah.
the 7-8 yards on that play. However
he was
many yards it
the
was,
crowd
get out of bounds.
And
give yourself a chance.
Bears at 8 deep. 4 of them at the goal line. They bring 3. Daniels backing up. He's just going to have to let one fly. Goes to the right side. Steps away from the defenders. Gives himself some time. Now steps up. Fires. Heads towards the end zone. It is...
The Bears players on the ground.
I would be too. Oh man, that is so cool. Like I was so happy that the Commanders went as far as they did this year because of how exciting Jaden Daniels was. Like, and I hope it continues. You see some of these guys, they have a bit of a sophomore slump. I hope Jaden Daniels is the dude for a very long time. I really truly do. I think he's got so much talent. But this was crazy. This was this could be considered, I think, maybe a top 10 sports moment of all time. Like that's how wild this was. You don't see too many rookie quarterbacks pulling stuff off like this.
No, and I forgot how long the play takes to actually like develop. Like he buys a lot of time.
Yeah,
and then it's one of those classic tip. And like no one knows where the ball is except for one dude, and it's just like right to him.
yeah. When I was talking about before, the guy who was talking jawjack into the crowd, the Bears player, he's the one who ended up tipping it right into the guy's hands.
Yeah,
and he got in a lot of trouble. I think he was a rookie too, and he got in a lot of trouble for that. He got a lot. He was bad. He got a lot. And understandably so. I mean, death threats, that's not cool, but but yeah, you got a lot of flack for that.
In the immortal words of the primetime crew of Chris Berman, what do? Knock it down. Knock down that pass. Come on.
Absolutely.
All right, sir, you're number eight.
All right, my number eight. I'm going to go back to my diehard days of watching, relatively diehard days of watching baseball. I liked watching baseball with my dad. I like watching all sports with my dad, but playoff baseball was something I could kind of sink my teeth into. And growing up in a Yankees household, you know, there's a little bit of entitlement that kind of came with it. I've never proclaimed to be a Yankees fan. I will say that. I've never been that kind of person, but I do enjoy, you know, if I'm going to watch a team, I guess it's going to be the Yankees because that's what I grew up in. But this is the 2003 American League Championship Series, Yankees and Red Sox. It doesn't get much better than that. And Aaron Boone ends up hitting a walk-off homer in the 11th inning to send the Yankees back to the World Series. So let's take a watch and we'll take a listen.
In the eighth inning, leading by three, as Boone hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series. Boone, a hero in game seven.
Now pump.
Amazing. Amazing.
The pop of that crowd was so dead.
And you brought up a good point in our text chain about how the crowd pops make these moments. You know, it's sometimes the silence too, like that gut punch, like the Jordan Cavs one that I did my last entry.
Yeah.
But the crowd being that excited makes it. Like, I can listen to this over and over again. I will be at work and I'll listen to exciting sports moments just to hear the radio call with the crowd. And I've also actually talked to Brian yourself about this. This is why I don't care for the Manning cast, because they really tone out the crowd and a lot of other aspects when watching it. I think that takes me out of the game personally.
Yeah, don't watch Manning cast if that's what you're into, that's for sure.
Yeah. I need the crowd energy. I don't you know, that's just me. But there it is, my number 8.
Love it.
Thank you, buddy.
I have no baseball entries, but I will bring another sport in here. I am a soccer fan adjacent, a football fan adjacent. This comes from the World Cup. Toni Kroos, a penalty kick, free kick, to win over Sweden. I think Kroos is K-R-O-O. That it'll probably find it. So, yeah, that'll work. That'll work.
Oh, K-R-O-O.
Nice. Yeah.
That was way the hell off. Here we go. FIFA 2018.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, that'll work.
Kroos will go for it and score! Moment from Toni Kroos.
So Germany was the team to beat that year. They were the favorites coming in, and that game was a lot closer than it was supposed. Sweden's not bad, but it should not have. Like, the fact that it was at 1-1 was shocking to a lot of people. I was watching this live as well. This is the most into soccer I was at the time. And the setup for it is, it's not a great angle to make that kick, but it's tricky for the goalie because, you know, these guys are so good at putting the curves on the balls that you still have to defend that short side a little bit. Like, you can't see to the far side so much. So I think he cheated a little too much to the short side. And it's just a really creative way of getting the ball set up for him, because it's a free kick. So they got two guys defending from Sweden in front of them to try and cut off some of the angle. And then they use a German player to actually, like, look like he's going to maybe screen it or something like that. And they actually set him up to stop the ball and give him a new free kick spot off of it. And the fact that it's in extra time, there's only 5 minutes of extra time. When he makes kicks that ball, it's at 490 something, or 450 something. And that was it. It was either that, or I think they would have been on the bubble to make it. I think they would have had to wait to see who won or who lost because it was in the group stage. I don't think that was in the knockout stage. I think that was still in group stage. So
that I can't tell you. how much I want to go see a European, like an actual like European soccer game. Like go to one of those big time rivalries and go and witness and be a part of that. Like, I don't even watch soccer regularly, but I just want to feel that energy. Like go see like a, I know there's a couple within England, right, that get pretty intense. And Rich Maranto here at Emerge, he's actually been to one in his trip to England. And, God, I want to go. I would love to go be part of that.
Yeah, well, is, I think he's a Chelsea fan. Is it blue?
I think you're right. That or Manchester.
So there's Man City and there's Man United. Man United wears red and Man City also wears blue. But I thought they were
He's actually got the jersey out here, but I don't want to interrupt. He's got a show coming in. So, but he's got the jersey hanging up by his desk. But yeah, like that's something I want to be a part of.
The crowd is different, man. Just they got their chants, they got their songs. Especially as a neutral party.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Just go there with like a Colts shirt on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, those Europe crowds are different animals. You see it all the time when the NFL goes over there too. They're amazing.
Yep.
But so, great choice. Great choice.
Thank you. Yeah, I had to get a soccer one in there. All right. We are on to number seven for Dan. Dan's number seven is Darren Elkins versus Mursad Bektik. Massive underdog Elkins rallies, knocks out Bektik in the third.
Okay, you're right.
He says here, okay. Bektik never rebounded in the UFC.
A little bit of lack of experience on Bektik's part to go into this fight.
Inexperience in deep water. And that is what Darren Elkins is all about, deep water. This kid breathes underwater.
Jesus. That's definitely a clutch moment. That dude folded like a table. Yeah, about a minute 40-something seconds left, and that was it.
Out.
UFC's too. It's hard for me to watch people beat each other up like that sometimes. It gets really, it's really rough, but that's pretty crazy.
I love Joe Rogan's call right before he knocks him out, about 5 seconds before he knocks him out, he goes, "This guy breathes underwater." I'm like, what? Don't do that. You'll drown. That's not good advice at all, sir. Don't. No. Yeah. No. So we know Dan, avid UFC watcher, avid MMA fan, supporting the mixed martial arts crowd. So love that.
Absolutely. All right. My number seven, I'm going to go to a time when the Sabres were good. There was actually a girl I really liked in high school, and she was a huge Sabres fan, loved to talk about it. And so I wanted to be up to snuff. I wanted to know stuff and things, okay, in case the opportunity came to weasel on in a conversation. So I'm going to take us back to 2006. All right. They are in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's how they do it. Against the Carolina Hurricanes. And Daniel Briere, who is a player I adore from afar, gets a win and sends it to Game 7.
Clears it over to Briere. He took his shot. Rebound, they score!
I think as a fan, somebody who lives in Buffalo, I think that Rick Jeanneret makes the moment even more so. Like, his passion for hockey is unmatched. And the way he called games, you could tell he loved the sport. I'm sad that he had to endure Sabres hockey the way it was the last years before he retired and passed. Because like how just he made it. He made this moment with the horn and then the crowd and then Rick Jenneret. Like, I don't think it gets much better than that.
I agree, dude. He's what makes those clips with the goosebumps. This is a solid one. There's Hominville's game winner against the Senators in the same the round before this. That's a great call. I think that's the one where he goes, "These guys are good, scary good." and then he's also got a phenomenal call on my next entry.
Awesome.
I'll follow you up here. We're going to get a twofer. If you will, type in Drury ties it, Max wins it in OT.
There it is. All right. Here we go.
Linesman Kovacic sends it down. Control is earned by Buffalo. Drury to the front. Backside. Wrister. Stop. Scramble. Score!
7.7 seconds left. Chris Drury ties it up to send it to overtime against the Rangers in 07. And the semifinals. I was at a concert for this.
Closing. Pumps it high. Fifth man in that unit is Dmitry Kalinin right here at the point. Kalinin for a pin again on.
I kind of like these jerseys.
That's a soft goal, but
out of the lineup and then into the game 5 winner's circle.
There's a party in the last awesome. Shot.
Dude,
I was downtown at a concert. I was seeing It Dies Today, who is a Buffalo-based band, but they're a national touring metalcore band. And the other band had it was so funny. The other band's like guitarist was a Rangers fan, and so the opening band, he came out and he's wearing a Rangers jersey, and then It Dies Today took the stage and they come out with a huge Sabres flag, and like in between songs they'd be doing the "Let's Go Buffalo" and stuff like that and get the chants going.
Yeah.
So when that happens, I had bailed on the concert and I went up to the bar and I was watching on a tiny little, they had two of them, like tiny little 22 inch tube TVs. Like, that's how old this is, right? And I was when Drury tied it up, I just went run for my friend Nate of Crafting and Drafting fame. And I went up and I grabbed him and I was like, "Oh my God, Chris Drury, 7 seconds. He's gonna have it up. I gotta go. And I go running back, and he comes back up to me like 5 minutes later. He's like, "What the hell was that?" I was like, "Drury, he tied it up. We're going to overtime, dude."
Yeah.
And then Max gets the game winner in overtime. And you know how it goes in playoffs with hockey. It's, you know, win or go home. You got to score that goal. I love the sudden death. Adds so much anxiety to it all. So there we go. We are
great choice, buddy.
Thank you. I wish that was a Jenneret call, but it's okay.
It was still pretty damn good.
Oh yeah, it was good. Solid. Was that on like remember when it was on like the Outdoor Network? Outdoor Network would have the hockey games.
It was like OLN or something like that. Yeah, it says Versus in the top corner.
I think OLN became Versus.
Okay, that makes it weird.
Number six for Dan here. He's kind of a self-loathing Bills fan in this entry.
Oh, I know. I already know.
The Hail Murray game winner from just a few years ago.
Yeah, 2020, man.
11 seconds.
Shotgun. Murray out of the pocket. 7 seconds. 6 seconds. Murray heaves it downfield. It is. Oh, it's caught. It is caught. DeAndre Hopkins. Miraculous. It's Murray magic.
I think the saddest thing is that that's probably the normal crowd size for Arizona Cardinals games. I have never met an Arizona Cardinals fan in my life, ever. I've never seen somebody walking around with a Cardinals jersey. I'm pretty sure I've seen it every other team, but I've never, ever met or seen an Arizona Cardinals fan. But this is a pretty cool moment. Like, I completely understand.
Oh, yeah, it is. The weird context that happens after this game is Buffalo goes on a winning streak to finish out the year, and Cardinals don't win another game.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
They used up all their juju in one moment.
They sure did. Yeah, they made it ESPN. Though.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it dominates. I mean, it pops up all the time. But, yeah, great entry. I would never do it, but I'm happy for Dan that he was able to beat himself up, take a joke at himself here.
Yeah, yeah. No, I appreciate the humbleness.
Yeah.
Trust me, if I could find some last-minute heartbreaker for the Colts, it would have been 1-10. That's for damn sure.
All right, your number 6, sir.
Okay, so we're going back to 2015, and I'm a big Ryan Fitzpatrick fan, and Fitzpatrick was having an incredible season as the New York Jets QB1. He filled in because Geno Smith got a one piece to the jaw, and Fitzpatrick just kind of came in. Took over the team. He gave the Jets their best season that they've had within the last 10. I mean, from now till they have it from now to 2015. So ten seasons. They haven't even come close to being this relevant. But they were going up against the Patriots in late season, and they needed some things to happen. They would end up blowing it in a loss to the Bills in the final week, and they wouldn't go to the postseason. But they had an incredible game against the Patriots in the Meadowlands. So let's go take a listen to that call.
A touchdown is a game winner in overtime. Fitzpatrick, end zone. Eric Decker hauls it in. The Jets win in overtime.
Love it. Fitzpatrick's a guy who has had Brady's number over the years. He's beaten him a few times. I'm not going to say he's the quarterback who's had the most wins against him, but I know he's did it. He did it once in Buffalo. He did it once here. And I think he did it in Miami at least once as well. But it was just so – I remember watching this game at my grandfather's house. Just excited because it's the big, bad Patriots. It's whatever. Fitzpatrick's lovable, and it was just a cool moment. And a nice reminder that Eric Decker was a pretty damn durable, good wide receiver for a little bit, and then he just kind of disappeared off the face of the planet. But that is my number 6.
Real reserved Fitzpatrick there with the game winner, too. Do you notice that?
Yeah, I think he did a post-game interview, and somebody surprised him, and he was kind of screaming. There's like a GIF or a meme about it, but yeah, man, it's a terrific memory. It's it usually he's a lot more passionate, but he held us all together. He has acknowledged that he thinks that Tom Brady hates him because he's never ever shaken his hand. Brady has never shaken his hand willingly. Like Fitzpatrick had to go chase him down a couple times, but yeah, Fitzpatrick, what a guy.
He's the best.
Yes.
You had a Jordan entry, so I'm going to have a Jordan entry as well here. It is from the 98 finals, and it's simply called The Shot.
All right. Is it The Last Shot? Is this it at the top here?
I always call it The Shot, but it's okay. Yeah.
This let's just name The Shot. Okay.
Right. 43. Doubled. They swat at it and steal it. Here comes Chicago. 17 seconds.
17 seconds from game seven or from championship number six. Jordan, open. Chicago with the lead.
He gets Brian Russell with a quick crossover. Look at Brian Russell slips, and Michael pulls up and buries the shot to give him a one-point lead.
That's awesome. That is the one, right?
That's the one.
Okay.
He did not slip. No. If you watch the clip, Jordan 100% uses his hand as leverage to gain as much space as he can. Call it a push-off. Call it just playing good hard-nosed basketball. Just let him play. Sure. Whatever you want to see there, you can see, because there's no denying he definitely puts his hand on his hip and gives the guy a good old shove. But is it any more, like, if he did that at minute 10 of the second quarter, is anyone freaking out? No. It's a pretty normal basketball play. I think that guy's momentum was just carrying him the wrong way, and Jordan noticed it and was like, oh, okay, here's a good time to kind of give you a little nudge. But he still has to make the shot, right? It doesn't matter. He could push off and miss the shot. Jordan's missed plenty of shots too. We think of him as being Mr. Clutch, and he is, but there's plenty of clips in early in his career too, like, of him not getting the game winners.
Yes. Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah, those early days were tough, but yeah, that's pretty cool. I like those Utah jerseys too. I'm doing a NBA jersey list in a couple weeks for the YouTube show. Ooh. And I'm starting to amass some ideas. I don't know if it's a top tenner, but that's a pretty good jersey right there.
Yeah, I like the Nuggets.
Oh, the '80s one with the I know what you're talking about. That's definitely on my list.
All right,
top five.
We got the Justin Tucker 66 yarder for the Ravens. From Dan.
All right. Here we go.
With 3 seconds to play.
Sorry if it's blowing out your eardrums. There are all sorts of different volumes.
Straight field goals.
This is the guy you want, Greg.
If you're in this situation, I can't think of a better option. This is for an NFL record 66 yards.
Dude, that's insane. That is the most insane thing I've ever seen.
It bounces so high. It hits that crossbar and it goes like 6 feet in the air above the crossbar. And like for a moment you're like, he didn't make it. And it falls over. And like, oh, okay, never mind.
That's a very Lions way to lose from back then. So
Yeah.
Very on brand.
But you could see the potential in this season.
Oh, yeah.
I think they might have a rough year this year.
I think it's going to be a downward year. I'm not sure what the rest of the NFC looks like, but I don't think they're going to be as good. I'm not as optimistic for the Lions. I think this was their year, and I think the year prior was their year too when they blew it, but that window feels really, really close right now.
Yep. All right, your top five. Here we go.
My number five, I love me some Baker Mayfield, and I loved watching this kid, because he's younger than me. I can call him a kid. Join the Rams maybe 2, 3, 4 days prior to this game, and then come out and beat up on Josh McDaniels and the Raiders. So this amazing. I actually just audible this in here, but I'm glad I remembered it when I did. So let's take a watch and listen. This is the final drive, by the way.
Mayfield from his own end zone caught to give them more light deep down the sideline, and it is caught by Skoranek. Ben Skoranek with a great catch. 35, 34, 33. Mayfield throws. That's caught. That's a first down here. Skoranek to the 22. Now Mayfield gets up there. He's got a spike.
He looks so good in those colors.
Second and 10. Mayfield to the end zone to Jefferson. Is that possible? Touchdown. This is impossible. They go.
No, it's possible. That was a bad year for the Rams. That was their Super Bowl hangover year. But, like, Stafford was hurt. I'm pretty sure Kupp was hurt. The whole team was just a mess. But Baker comes in, and this is why you just, like, life advice, people, don't give up, seriously, because he was down in the dumps. He got cut from the Browns that summer, or he requested a trade from the Browns that summer, didn't fit in with the Panthers, and then jumped over to the Rams and did some amazing things, and he ended up, you know, finding a home in Tampa Bay. And he's done a pretty damn good job down there, which I'm happy for. So Baker Mayfield with the Rams against the Raiders.
I love that. You know I'm a Baker guy forever.
Absolutely. Now I want a Baker Rams jersey just because.
Ooh. Plus, those are sick jerseys.
Yeah, he looks good. I was actually surprised that he didn't end up staying there. I don't know. Well, they still had Stafford, so they wouldn't have done that to him. But, yeah, pretty cool.
And even now they still have Stafford.
Yeah.
After he might have left.
Yeah, that is true.
Okay, now it is splitting hairs time because I have a lot of championship moments here. Let's go with Plaxico Burress Steelers Super Bowl.
I type in Plaxico Burress, and the first suggestion is shoots himself.
That's horrible.
Is the Super Bowl catch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh no! Wait, do I have the wrong guy? It's not Plaxico.
No.
I'm looking at it.
That's the Steelers one, right?
No, it's Steelers. Yeah.
Let's see. Against Arizona?
Yeah.
Okay.
Since 04 when he came to the lead, 17 game-winning drives in the fourth quarter or overtime.
Holmes. Santonio Holmes.
Okay.
Avoids the sack. Docka chases him. Throws on the run. Caught. He extends the play again. It's Santonio Holmes. Makes the catch. 27-yard line.
I wanted Arizona to win this game so bad. I just like Kurt and Larry.
Holmes reaches up, makes the catch. If you don't get him and he can step up, he can make a big play on you.
Great John Madden.
Pass caught. Washington will try to get out of bounds, and he can't. So that keeps the clock rolling. Rushing five. Ben pumps, throws, caught. Holmes.
Holmes is all over this.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to take it inside the 10, and he's going to get to the 5-yard line. Miller slot left. Washington outside left. Roethlisberger has time.
Throws
to the back of the end zone, and it is caught for a touchdown by Holmes.
That's the greatest catch in Super Bowl history.
Unbelievable.
Oh, for sure.
Incredible.
And people like, you know, the helmet catch for the Giants, obviously, with David, whatever.
Tyree.
Yeah. David Tyree. But watching this, I think I might have been watching this one with my grandma. She was a Steelers fan. She bailed on the Bills because she says she wanted to see a championship before she died. So she bailed on the Bills and rooted for the Steelers. And she got at least one, maybe two championships before she passed.
When'd she bail for the Steelers? When did she?
Probably like 2006 or 2007 or something like that.
So she might have been coming off the Steelers 05 win.
Maybe that's why she
when they beat Seattle. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Could be.
Great
choice, buddy. Fantastic choice.
Yeah, I don't know why I typed it in yesterday. Plaxico. Like that was because Plaxico was on that team, wasn't he?
He may have been. Now I'm curious. I'm curious. We'll have to do some digging.
Yeah, we do. All right. Moving on to Dan's number four. And he's got, quote, my balls was hot, end quote.
Oh.
Do you know what this is?
I think it's, I don't know if I have the fight, but I have the interview.
Derek Lewis knocks out Alexander Volkov with 11 seconds left in a fight.
Derek Lewis, balls are hot fight. Where's the knockout?
I mean, it might show it first and then show the clip. Like the thumbnail may not match it. Short.
No, that's not it. Let's see.
My balls are hot.
Who is it against?
I'm here with the winner, Derek Lewis. Derek, why'd you take your pants off?
Volkov.
I understand.
Oh, there we go. Okay, you're right.
I'm here with the winner, Derek Lewis. Derek, why'd you take your pants off?
My balls was hot.
I understand.
I forgot a few hours before the fight, Donald Trump called me and told me I got to knock this Russian motherfucker out because they're making him look bad on the news. You know, him and Putin and shit. Fuck what they're talking about. USA and his whole. Fuck. I need to sit my black ass down. Do some more cardio. Fuck what you talking about right now. I ain't trying to fight for no title right now. Not with no gas tank like that. Shit.
Good grief. What a clip.
Hanging in the Louvre, what is that? The Louvre, hanging in the Louvre. That definitely belongs in there. That's amazing.
Oh God, what a gem, Derek Lewis. I got a call from Trump saying
I got to knock this Russian motherfucker out. Oh, good Lord! Great choice, Dan. I love it. That is timeless.
I love his caption of balls was hot.
Let's
see. Number four, sir.
All right, my number four. This is my last non-football entry. Basketball is like my number two sport, even though it's like very far below football. But I remember the Kawhi Leonard Toronto Raptors time, and I was so happy for Kawhi to finally win it. Him and his, like, no personality. But this was, I believe this was their conference finals against, yes, the 76ers. And he makes, in the game seven, right before the end of the game, he makes a shot that sends him to the next little series.
You got to be aware of the inbounder here if you're Philly.
It's off to Leonard, defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger? No!
That bounce, man.
I was watching this live.
Were you?
Yeah. I love NBA playoffs. Even if my team's not in it. I grew up a Bulls fan with Jordan. And once LeBron came in, I became a LeBron fan. I follow him wherever. And then this year, that Toronto team was so fun that I just kept tuning in every time, every chance that I had to watch them. And so, yeah, I was watching live for that. It's hilarious. If you don't remember this, and you go on YouTube and watch it, the ball looks like it has absolutely no business of going back through the hoop after hitting the rim the way it does.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. That's for sure. It was surreal. His face makes it, the way that the crowd, everybody shoots their hands up at the end, makes that clip. It's exciting stuff.
Great crowd pop, too.
Yes.
Very good choice, my friend. Like Kawhi got a little love.
Thank you, buddy.
Great. Let's go with, okay, I'll match your NBA. I'm watching this one live as well, by myself. Chrissy's with me, but we're at her parents' house upstairs in her bed. I think she was asleep. Let's go to the game seven, game winning shot, series winning shot of Kyrie Irving over Steph. And what year was that? 2017?
16. June 19th. Yep. Clutch three-pointer, Cavaliers versus Warriors. I know you're a Cavs guy. Or, well, you enjoy the Cavs, I think.
Irving and Curry, one-on-one. Irving puts it up. It's good! Kyrie Irving from downtown!
Looking up 92-89, like 46 seconds left. And then...
on Kyrie Irving. They get exactly
there's a block by LeBron on like the next possession to like really help clinch it.
That's a big time offensive play by.
So I hated that they played each other 4 years, four championships in a row, but I think it was good for basketball too.
Well, yeah, because we kind of had our. I'm trying to think of like what it would have been equivalent to in the NFL, but. This series itself was really compelling too because they were down 3-1.
Right.
They had to rattle off three.
That was the meme. That was the meme. Yep. They blew a 3-1 lead. Yep.
Yeah. And that's the first time ever in NBA that a team blew a 3-1. That's incredibly hard, especially because you're going Cleveland to Golden State out in San Francisco, back and then back to Cleveland and stuff. Like, that's a lot of travel. It's a lot of, downtime where like you're just thinking about it a lot. So I think that's a basketball's a lot of mental, dude. Like it's so much of it's repetition that like you got to just keep your head in the game.
That's especially at that highest level like that. Yeah, no doubt about it. That's what you're getting paid for. To be the guy, to be ready. I love a nice underdog, or you know what I mean? Or just to be it, at that point the Cavs were underdogs. People just waiting for them to be put out of their misery, and then they go on this great final run. So, great choice.
That was my first. Thank you. That was my first ever watching a team that I root for live win a championship. Minus the Bandits in 2008.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, though. Very good.
Thank you. All right, number three from Dan Robin Ventura NLDS Grand Slam.
1999, does he say? That's gotta be it.
What a hero. Another Mets highlight here. Mets had bat foul ball after foul ball before singling. Then he stole second. He set this inning up. Well, the Braves have to play the infield in now. They have to come home with anything hit on the ground. And the outfield is also shallow. That's my Braves.
Ball one to Robin Ventura. And because ooh, it's raining too. Been, ooh. The kind of chess match series it's been, somebody's going to ask why, once they got the lead, Bobby Cox didn't have Kevin Millwood pitch the 15th.
The 1-0. Foul to the screen.
You ever been to an MLB game, Bry?
No, I haven't, actually.
It's a good time. Went to two Yankees games in New York. Yankees games are wild. They're like going to Bills games here in Buffalo.
I'd like to go to PNC Park, I think it's called, in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pirates, yep. Toronto's not far away either. I'd go see them there or somebody there.
Indoors, though, this takes away a little bit.
Fair.
If I'm going to go to my first city. 2-1 here. A drive to right. Back to Georgia.
Gone. A grand slam. So good.
That's a good call. Once the announcer knew it, he said, back to Georgia. That's such a – they're playing against the Braves. That's such a good call. I love
that. That's like a when a bowler throws a strike, it doesn't look it, he just knows it's coming. Like it was that kind of level of confidence. Great choice, Dan.
Yeah, very fun, very fun. Representing the MLB.
Yeah, yes, we are. I'm very happy about that. All right, my number three. This is a highlight on a very not highlight of a year, but it was the happiest I was as a Colts fan this that season because I thought this the possibilities were endless. 2022, the Colts are struggling against the Jags. There's 23 seconds left, 3rd and 13, and the Colts are down 26-27. And yeah, they had just come off. They'd actually just beaten KC the week prior, I think, or 2 weeks prior. So they went on a bit of a run. But anyways, this is Alec Pierce's first NFL touchdown. Let's give a listen.
On the sideline, ready to call that timeout. Ryan's going to throw it, taking a deep shot for Pierce down the field. He's got it! Touchdown! What a call! What a play! And what a day for Matt Ryan and the Colts!
Those numbers were just, did you see those passing numbers? He threw the ball. He was 42 of 58 for almost 400 yards and 3 touchdowns. I legit hate the Colts because, I mean, I kind of still do, but I kind of love them. But they did Matt Ryan such a disservice. That team stunk around him. Like, they were so bad. And then they just blamed him.
Well.
Yeah. What are you going to do? But anyways, that was a cool one.
It was.
At least in the last 5 years or so, that's the one, the most clutch probably Colts play I remember. There's another one that it wasn't like the gate, like a buzzer beater kind of thing. It wasn't as close to the final whistle, but like when I was at Colts and Pats in 2021 and JT scored a huge touchdown to ice the game basically. But that one was more exciting because I remember watching it with my dad at the precinct. They threw that touchdown. I went to go pick up pizza for me and him, and we watched the Bills beat the Chiefs. And, fun memory. And then Prince actually laid in the pizza box. I remember I took a picture of Prince laying in the pizza box. He made it his bed. So fun day and fun memories with that. But I was walking around with my Matt Ryan Colts jersey very proud that day.
I love it.
Thank you.
All right, my number three will also be an NFL entry here, and it's called Beastquake.
Ooh, great choice.
The Beastquake.
Yeah, let's see this one. Okay, here we go.
So it's long. It's 3 minutes left in the game, so it's not nice to hear like
silent now, as opposed to when the Saints had the ball. Oh, look at this run! What a run! Marshawn Lynch, still on his feet, has blockers now. He's dancing his way for the touchdown.
I love that. Well, that's a great moment. And wasn't Seattle like 8-9 heading into this game? Like they won the division with a losing record.
Yeah, but it was probably before 17 games, right? So, maybe seven and nine.
I apologize. Yeah,
or
you're
maybe
right.
8-8. But I was trying to figure out if they were 7-9 or 8-8. But I think it was 7-9, and they're hosting a playoff game against the Saints. Who are they coming off of beating your Colts the previous year? Maybe
what year was this? Is this 20? It might have been. I think this might have been them defending their title. I can't see a description. Oh, yeah, I'm not sure what it was from, but I'm almost positive because Hasselbeck's still there. I'm pretty sure this is 2010 before the Seattle fell apart before Russ and everybody got there. So,
Yeah, I was at I was out to eat with some friends at a hibachi, and we were waiting for our reservation time to come up, and we were just at the bar watching this.
Okay.
That's when Beastquake happened. And I felt it all the way here in Western New York.
He played for the Bills. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, this might have been his first full year or something there. I don't know. I don't remember. But.
I think you're right. I think you're right. All right. On to number two here, Dan's entry is the Minneapolis Miracle.
All right. I'm just going to move this one because this is my – I had this one at one, but let's kill two birds with one stone here, and I'll make this my number two as well.
Go.
And Saints coming up the back.
Yeah,
I know. Catching all the playoff L's.
Keenum steps into it. Pass is caught. Diggs! Sideline! Touchdown! Unbelievable! Vikings win it!
I love that call.
Oh, great.
Diggs, sideline, touchdown. I will never, ever forget that.
It was now, who was that that missed the tackle?
Was it Lattimore?
Maybe. So as great of a play as that is, bro, that's pretty routine textbook. Make that tackle and the game's over. But he just puts his head down and just flies past the guy. Like, what are you doing?
Oh, I know. Yeah, that was bad. I think he was a rookie that year. I don't know if it was Lattimore, so I don't quote me on it. But
he's coming at it now.
Yeah, I know. But I remember sitting there watching this with my dad, and it was one of the most amazing. 2017 was a great year for game winners and underdogs and all sorts of stuff. And yeah, this is such a cool moment. This is such a cool one. It is my number one, but just for the sake of moving this episode through, I'm going to link it, or I'll link it together with Dan. But I do have a pretty cool number one as well. So, Minneapolis Miracle, Dan and I is number two.
Love that.
Very good. All right.
That'll actually make me change my number one to number two here. I'm going to go with Andy Dalton to Tyler Boyd. Over the Ravens to send my beloved Buffalo Bills to their first playoffs in 17 years.
Well, this is my number one.
Is it?
Yeah, I swear to God. I'll you tell your part and I'll tell mine.
Okay. I had this number one, but I feel like my list wouldn't make sense if I didn't change it.
That's fair.
Green for sure will be doubled at the bottom of the screen.
Ravens trying to end it here. Fourth down. Dalton steps up. Dalton throws. It's complete. Caught by Boyd. Tyler Boyd. Touchdown. Remarkable. The Cincinnati Bengals have stunned this crowd.
Amazing.
Yes.
It is a great play. Once again, you something bad has to happen on defense in order for a play like this to work. There is definitely some sort of defensive assignment miscue. I don't know who is to blame necessarily. It is a great pass. It is a great run after the catch, so you can't take any of that away. But the line, somebody goofed. Somebody goofed big time.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to play this part now?
Yeah, I guess I'll play this and then I'll give my side. I think I love this scene the most of Kyle Williams with his boys in his only time going to the postseason. So for those who don't know, remember the situation fully, if the Ravens beat the Bengals, they were in the postseason as the seventh seed. They would have traveled to Jacksonville. But because Dalton hit Tyler Boyd with that bomb on 4th and 12, the Bills ended up getting through. They had just whomped on Miami to keep their playoff hopes alive. And this all came about. And yeah, it was an exciting moment. I've told this story several times on the podcast, but I'm going to treat it like it's the first time. I was at my grandfather's house. It was New Year's Eve. And at my grandfather's house, my parents, I actually had my Andy Dalton jersey on because Andy Dalton was my first fantasy football quarterback, and I was really hoping to pull for him, you know, for him to do some cool things. I discovered that I was starting to discover at this point that I had a bit of a jersey curse because he sucked ass. And then as soon as I took it off, things started to kind of get going. But we'd actually left because we had to go to a bowling party. And we had the radio call on, and I remember just being in the car with my mom and dad, and they hit it, and the radio was like, everybody was excited, and me and my dad were like screaming, like we couldn't believe that it happened, that Buffalo was actually going to go to the postseason with this. And it ended up being this cool, this just amazing sports moment that I'll never, ever forget with my dad. Like, yeah, I can't. I'm gonna talk about it like eventually on the YouTube show, about that moment, and but it's crazy, it's surreal, and it's such an important moment for me and my dad. So, that's why it's my number one.
I was on the couch in my house. I think my friend Josh was over, my wife, and I was still recovering from my first ACL surgery.
Mm.
So when the game winning play happened and I jumped up, I had to jump on one leg. Yeah, so amazing, amazing moment for Buffalo sports fans, and then everyone just started donating a crap ton of money to Andy Dalton.
Yes, and I think that's what made me the happiest about that. Is the charity that came, and he came in, they played him in the preseason, and he got a standing ovation. Like they had, yeah, Bill's PR walk him out, and he was waving to the crowd. It's beautiful. So, all right,
number one. Yes, Pete Alonso, 3-run homer, NL Wild Card Series, 2024, and he says his favorite Mets moment with his dad ever.
Okay. Go it.
16 Mets against Milwaukee have been retired in a row.
I'm hoping, though. Now
Williams, it has to be because, yeah, they're down by two.
Vientos, Nimmo singled, and here is Alonso. First pitch. In for a called strike. Nothing and one. He started him off with a changeup. And Pete took it. He has flied to center, fouled out to third, and struck out. This may be his last Mets at-bat. He could make it his most memorable. 0-1 the count. Williams sets. Here's the pitch. High, a fastball, one ball and one strike. Now this crowd is many precincts standing. Lindor is at third. Nimmo is the tying run at first. Tarang over towards the bag at second. 1-1 to Alonso. Williams sets. Here's the pitch. High. Ooh. Ball two. This is not the dominant Williams we've seen before.
You can see it in his body language. And I wonder, you know, that these pitchers, that pitch calm right away. He had to knock him off his rhythm. He came in. The lights were low. Camera following him in.
Good point. 2-1 to Alonso. Williams sets. Here's the pitch. Inside and low. Ball three. Well, Williams is giving the Mets an opening here. 3-1 to Alonso. The outfield is very deep and straight away. Lindor will take a short team. Walk down the line from third, even though Ortiz is deep. Nimmo leads from first. 3-1 to Alonso. Williams sets. Here's the pitch. Swing and a fly ball to right field. Pretty well hit. Freelick back at the wall. He jumps. It's gone. He did it. Pete Alonso with the most memorable home run of his career. Pumps his fist as he rounds second. It's a three-run homer. He's given the Mets a 3-2 lead. They all pour out of the dugout. Alonso on his way to home plate.
Suck the energy right out of that crowd.
He hits the plate. He is first congratulated by Nimmo. Hugged by Lindor. There are a dozen Mets waiting for him outside the dugout.
Wow. That's pretty damn cool.
Baseball calls are awesome.
They can be. It's hard sometimes because they find the good moments. Sometimes it's a little rough. Like, it'll put me to sleep. But for moments like that, yes, there are some definite iconic ones, and that might be up there.
That's where I give what's his name that's on the call with Troy Aikman on Monday nights now.
Oh, Joe Buck. I think he's a lot better than people give him credit for.
I'm fine with Joe Buck. I don't know why people dog on him. I think he's better at baseball than he is at football. His baseball calls are phenomenal.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Very good, fun choice. All right, we already know Matt's number one. He's a secret Bills fan. I'm not such a secret Michigan fan, and I probably should have the reason that we did this list on here. It's a clip that I sent to Matt. It is Jordan Poole's game winner over Houston. I don't remember the year. Not too long ago. Maybe
2018. Sound about right?
What was the year off?
Let's do the 90-second one, not the 5-minute one. Or last. Oh,
kick out to Simpson, who goes baseline, gets it to Wagner underneath and had it swatted out of there by Davis. And then Wagner follows up with a tip in. Here's a switch off. Gray in traffic again, gave it up. Brooks, long three. Battle for the loose ball. Out to Michigan, give it off. Gonna have to hurry for Matthews. Three pointer. In and out. And a tough rebound. And a foul after it by Livers. Boy, he doesn't look like a 67% free throw shooter, does he? He hasn't missed.
Houston with three timeouts. Michigan with two.
Got them both. Abdir Rahman on the dribble. Turns around, has to put it up off the window. No good. Tips no good by Matthews. Rebound is Davis again. And he finally missed one.
Put a body on someone.
Second one's perfect. Abdir Rahman, 10 to play. On the drive, up off the window, missed it. Davis has got another rebound and a foul with 3.9.
Off from a little bit far out.
Yep, one possession, Houston.
Came back with the right
hand. At the free throw line.
But Wagner was in the corner, and that's what created that opening line.
Davis has the last 6 points for Houston. And he missed. Davis takes a big deep breath. He's missed two of his last three. He's missed another one. And a rebound by Wagner in the timeout.
He misses two free throws.
Right in front of us to Abdul Rahman at midcourt. Extra pass.
Oh,
and
shit.
Goes for the win.
Wow.
The three-pointer by Jordan Poole. A freshman.
He's running around like a wild man.
The prayer's answer. Here's how it came down.
Yeah, well executed. Tremendous pass.
So weird. He split his legs
to make the extra pass at the buzzer.
Is that the one that Draymond got?
Draymond? Yes. Yes. He punched him in practice one day.
Piece of shit.
Yeah. And then Jordan Poole got traded from the team. Watching that at home, and once again, my buddy Josh definitely was there because I remember him saying, he goes, what do you call, what's your play call, what do you do? I said give it to the freshman. He goes, why would you call up give it to the freshman? I'm like, because he doesn't know any better. He doesn't know that he needs to hit this shot. He's not going to be able to think like that. He's just going to go out there and he's just going to shoot. That's what he's going to do. And that's how it worked out. It was so funny because I was like, yeah, give it to the freshman. He's not going to know what to do. He's just going to you get the ball and you shoot. Okay, coach, I'm gonna shoot.
And he did. That is a really great number one, my friend.
Thank you.
Great choice of an episode. I think this one definitely felt different than the OMG sports moments, and I'm glad you got a chance to do yours. I threw in some different ones that I hadn't had before. So thank you for having this topic ready to go for us.
Absolutely. I probably could have done a top 10 game-winning shots in March Madness history, too, and we're about to have some more today, day of episode release. So
yeah, that's true.
Happy March Madness, everybody. Yes. Oh God, at 10 o'clock. I'm going to be so tired the next day.
I did pick him to make the Elite Eight at the very least. I know nothing, but I did a bracket. I know absolutely nothing, but my buddy Tank, for Tank Talk runs a bracket pick 'em, and I had him at least make the Elite Eight. So,
well, I hope they win you some money.
Maybe we'll see. Next week I will be off, so if we do have an episode, Brian and Dan will be holding down the fort just like they have for the most part of the last year. But yeah, Brian, great job, buddy.
Thanks, dude. Enjoy your week off.
Thank you.
Continue to support the network at bsabp-radio.com. Continue to support Matt and all his endeavors here on the YouTube channel for eSleep List. Go ahead while you're on YouTube and go over to Crafting and Drafting. And once again, support Matt and all his endeavors over there, putting together the fantastic shorts. You can find all of our episodes from this season over there as well. And yeah, until next time.